Hi, everyone. It's Jen DeWall. And in this week's episode of the Leadership Habit Podcast, I sat down with Dominic George to talk all about how to overcome your fears and build a growth mindset, because you've got one life to live. How are you investing your time? Our guest today has a master's degree from Columbia University. He's a leadership coach, and he's the founder of Vision Leadership for Life. It's a business focused on guiding Black men who are mid-level professionals to senior leadership roles. Dominic has a tremendous amount of experience in helping his clients develop that growth mindset to be at their peak performance. And in today's episode, Dominic is going to share with you the four common fears that hold us back, as well as five strategies that he uses with his clients to help them overcome their fears and develop a growth mindset. Enjoy. Hi, everyone. I am so excited that you are here today to listen to our show, talking all about how to overcome your fears to build a growth mindset. Dominic, welcome to the show. I am so excited to have you, especially to talk about a really important topic, overcoming your fears. Thank you for coming on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me, Jen. I'm excited to be here.
Oh, me too. And especially because it's fear, right? The thing that all of us, to some extent, I think, succumb to, depending on how big the risk or how big the challenge. And it likely is, when we don't overcome it, the source of maybe our discouragement and sadness or lack of fulfillment. So I hope that if you're sitting there right now as an audience and thinking about, I know that I'm afraid to apply for that promotion or to, you know, find a new job in a different industry or pursue something new, this podcast is for you. So Dominic, if you wouldn't mind, our audience heard a little bit about you, but could you go ahead and tell us a little bit more about who you are, how you came to be? How did you become interested in this topic?
Yeah, such a great question. And one of the things that really allowed me to pursue this industry, this career, and be in this space heavily is I had so many mentors along my journey, so many coaches who allowed me to really see the possibilities of my life differently. And as I sort of navigated my own trajectory and my career, being from Oakland, California, migrating over to New York City, where I currently call home, along that journey, that 30-year span of growth opportunities and career development, I realized that every single nugget that somebody left me would enhance my experience over my career. And I just wanted to offer that because as I grew in my own leadership, I saw people taking like pitfalls that they didn't know were pitfalls. I also noticed that people were just like running into these walls that they didn't even know were in front of them. And the coaching and the mentorship that I got along my journey really helped me shift my mind to what was possible for me. And I wanted to offer that to as many people that I could. So that ultimately landed me into a coaching space. My background, I was a former athlete, and that really solidified the team dynamic, the coaching dynamic, and the impact that that has on anybody's life, but specifically mine. And as I grew in my own athletic journey, I realized that there was also a space professionally that people could benefit from coaching.
Absolutely. I argue that every person needs a coach or a therapist. We all need someone else to be there to stand with us as a partner, because life is way too hard to do alone. We get in our own way, which we're going to talk about today. So maybe let's level set, because I think there are some people that are more familiar with the term growth mindset, and there are some people that this might be a new, you know, concept for them or something they haven't heard before. How do you define what a growth mindset is?
Yeah, so I'm going to break it down in some simple terms, for especially for the people who are not familiar with a growth mindset. So there's two different distinctions that I like to play on. There's the fixed mindset, where often you'll hear this in people who are of more mature age, where you're like, oh, they're just stuck in their ways. They only do things a certain way. And they, how you level set that is they have a fixed mindset of how things need to be based on their experiences. So they're always sort of showing up in the same way all the time because that's how they see the world. So I define that as a fixed mindset. You're just consistently doing the same thing over and over again, and you only see things from one perspective. A growth mindset is the ability to look at life, look at your environment, and see things differently from multiple different angles. So it's pulling in information from education spaces, professional spaces, your own experiences, your cultural background, all the things that helps you understand the world differently. You're pulling in that information to see things differently. And specifically, when I think about growth mindset, I think about thinking about the impossible in order to make it possible. That's how I categorize a growth mindset.
I love that. So growth mindset, if I simplified it, would be growth mindset, believing that things can change. Fixed mindset, yes. Believing that we are who we are. This is what it is. There's no changing, or I've maxed out maybe even in my own learning. Yeah. And so one is, I love that, making, you know, taking the impossible and making it possible, whereas one says, nope, that will always be impossible.
Exactly.
Why is it important to look at, you know, that type of mindset when we're starting to look at how to overcome our fears? Why would it be, or why is it helpful to start from that place?
Yeah, it's so helpful to start there from a perspective of what you previously thought was impossible to something that is impossible. It's important to start there because our human behavior allows us to think that we're always conditioned to want more, grow more, create bigger experiences. And just in terms of our own happiness, we collectively have a desire to be happy long term. And I believe that the way to get there is to have a growth mindset around all the possibilities around you. And when you think about your fear, it's often housed in fixed mindset. You think that this is the one way, this is the only possibility. And so oftentimes people get stuck in their fear, and it's because they don't see the possibilities around them. And to adopt a growth mindset allows you to step into that possibility to grow, to learn, to expand as a human being.
I want to unpack, because I think I want to bring this to light for some of our audience that might be reflecting, like, is this me that might be showing up with a fixed mindset? Because sorry, everyone has a mix of both, depending on what you're experiencing. So you talked about, you know, specifically, you know, this is the only way, and how I hear that might be if you're trying to get a promotion and you interview for the job and it, you know, you don't get it, you get rejected. You might say, well, I guess I'll never become blank. That was the only way. What are some other kind of challenges that you notice people really lean into that fixed mindset and maybe give up or stop seeing the possibilities?
Yeah, the thing I think about immediately, which also aligns with career growth, is relationship. So in both our personal life, our professional life, we're always surrounded and we're in consistent relationship with others. And when you think about, I think most people can relate to this, thinking about your own relationship journey, whether that's romantic or friendship, depending on how that trajectory of building relationships with friends, building relationships with a partner, with a significant other, based on that experience, you could assume, if you've had a negative experience, that you could think that all people are like this and it's all about the other individual who is creating this experience for you. Maybe you you're trying to build friendships around you, and for some reason you just continuously disconnect from the people around you. Or maybe you've had a relationship that ends at 3 months every single time, and you're just like struggling to figure out what is it about that 3 month period that you can't get beyond. When I think about the distinction between a growth mindset and fixed mindset, a growth mindset allows you to take that 3 month mark and really internalize, like, what is it about my experience? What is it about me that's preventing me to see the possibility of going beyond where I currently am? Versus a fixed mindset, you could assume based on your experiences that this is the only possibility forward. And that could turn into, maybe I don't make friends. Maybe I'm not meant to be in a relationship. But everyone is meant to be in a relationship with others. It's just a matter of shifting your mindset, but seeing the possibility of growth within it.
Gosh, I love that. I love the example that you shared because it really demonstrates the negative thinking traps that many of us can fall victim to. And specifically that assumption, because someone did this once, they'll do it again, or creating that all or nothing thinking. I mean, whether we realize it or not, we might be doing that. And, you know, I really appreciate you sharing those examples because I think self-awareness is one of the hardest parts of this. We don't even realize how we're constantly hurting or discouraging or minimizing ourselves.
Yep. It's so common. We all do it, right? We have those negative moments where we just assume that we just can't do it. And the simple fact is, it's just not true. We all have the possibility to expand who we are, where we have the possibility to go for the goals that we're trying to achieve in life. And it's just really a matter of shifting your perspective to get there.
Yes. Everyone listening to this, you can find another way. It may not be the way that you initially planned because life doesn't always go to plan, but you can. I mean, actually, I think that is one of the funniest things, and maybe this is a tangent, but do you ever notice people, you know, just really giving up because that one way that they thought in their head didn't come to be, or it didn't work the way that they thought it would? Do you notice people giving up?
I used to be a coach for a swim team. And one of the things that I would push young adults to think about is, if you quit in this moment, you're going to think about quitting in different moments in your life. And it's usually that moment where you've done something, you've worked really hard, and you're like, this is going to be the thing that gets me to wherever I need to go. And when you fail at it, which we all fail, we're all trying to figure out how to decrease failure, get to success, and some version of the in-between. But I noticed time after time that certain people were conditioned to just quit sooner than others, versus the individuals on that team who would push past the discomfort, push past the point of failure to just keep trying something new and new and new until they got it right. But yes, I find that to be a common thing for most people.
Yeah, I know that I do this. Of course, I'm joking about like others. Yeah, this is also just for myself too, because sometimes I can fall victim to thinking, well, it's supposed to happen. This is A and here is Z and nothing will get in the way. And of course, you forget about B through blank of what can happen. And we need to get better at anticipating that nothing in life goes to plan every single time. And it might not be a sign of you not being worthy for that goal or your ability to do it. It's just that wasn't the way. Yes. But like, let's dive into why it's important, because not only can you, but why do you think, if you were looking and coaching one of your clients or talking to those swimmers, like, why is it important to overcome your fears? What do you think it's costing people by not, or why do they need to really create that urgency to do it?
I go back to this often, that we only get one life. And we sometimes think, when you're younger in age, you think that you have endless possibilities of years behind you. When you get to that midpoint, you're like looking back and forward. How many years do you actually have? How much time have I either wasted or capitalized on? And then some of the individuals who are a little bit mature in age really see the benefit and the runway of the time that they actually have. But I think that the true cost is time. And the more you could lean into your fears early, the more that you embody a sense of happiness. Because when you face your fears and you feel a sense of accomplishment, a sense of success, you're going to be better positioned in life to achieve the things that you want to achieve. But I think the cost is truly time. And there's just no time to waste. We truly do have a short life.
Yes. I mean, I realize that, Dominic, because somehow I am 41. I do not know how that happened. Someone stole at least 15 years that I didn't realize were happening. And, you know, I even saw something today on social media that said, do millennials even matter anymore? Because when I came of age, millennials were everything that everyone talked about, because they were perplexed by them and their changes in personality and thinking styles. And now all of a sudden we're middle-aged. And so we might not matter. You know, life is happening fast. I don't know if you're 20 something, it happens fast. Like you are wasting time. But I heard something. The Grammys just took place. I guess I'm time stamping this podcast, but the Grammys just took place here in the United States. And one of the, one of the artists, Jelly Roll, said something about like how he overcomes his fears. And it's like always to make them exciting. Like, what can you get excited about in terms of looking at your fear? And I loved that. I'm like, ooh, that's a little bit more energizing than feeling like you're crushed or killed by it. But let's dive into it. So now how do we get to that solutions? Because there are so many people, I'm sure that you see, that I see, that don't even realize that are maybe not maximizing the time that they have. And we're wasting time by listening to the loud voice of fear. Where do you start when you work with clients on being able to develop that growth mindset and overcome their fears?
Yeah, I think before we get there, there are just like four common fears that I see time and time again. And there's some strategies that really work that I've seen work time and time again. So I'll jump into those. But some of the four common fears that I've seen individuals really get challenged by as they're moving from the fixed mindset to growth mindset is, number one, people are just fearful of rejection. We have this general sense that we want to be accepted in life. We're conditioned to be accepted. And so people fear the unknown. And part of that is the rejection piece. The second fear that people are commonly stifled by is the fear of success. And so most people think like people are fearful of the failure, but it's actually, when you think about it, there's a tipping point that people get to where they're like almost there, and then they get unstable or they get fearful of the successful point and start to self-sabotage and do all the things that get in the way of success. But that's the second thing that I noticed.
Tell me more. Sorry to interrupt you. I'm just so curious about like what that might look like in action. If I'm maybe, you know, getting close to my success point or where I want to be, what does that self-sabotage, like, what are some examples of what that might look like?
Yeah, great question. One of the things that I have noticed, at least in my own coaching of clients, is you get people who are at the point of success. They're going from that midpoint level of experience in their leadership to their senior leadership opportunities, and they're doing all the right things. They're networking with their company across departments. They're idolizing around different ideas, pulling people into strategies. They're aligning their outputs to the company's strategic vision and strategic initiative. And then something happens when all of those things are right, or all of those things are happening really well, and they're like the center of attention. And then I've noticed that when people get to that pivotal point, they then start to like step back and say, am I ready? They start to like question, I'm doing all the things that need to happen in order to get to that success, but they fear, am I actually the right person for this role? And they start to question themselves. And then they start to self-sabotage. Sometimes that shows up in, I'm not going to network in the same way that I've been doing, even though I know it's successful. I'm not going to always voice my opinion, because in their mind, they start to belittle themselves and think, well, actually, I'm not quite ready, so I'm not going to position myself to be the leader in the space. Those are some like common ways that I've seen people show up in that self-sabotage. But it's really, in essence, they just stop showing up in the same ways because they fear that they're not either ready or they're not capable, or something about their experience has told them to like stop at this point.
And thank you for expanding on that. Because when you were sharing that, what I heard is that self-doubt, like the second that you really are at the top of your game, then you just start to doubt everything that you've probably done. Or maybe it's the, I don't know, it's that next role. And can I do that? I'm not even sure. And I kid you not, I guess now as you're saying that, I had that conversation yesterday with a friend who knows that they're ready for the next step of their career, but yet is also afraid, because they're like, well, what if I can't do that one? And so I kid you not, I just heard that. And they have been in their position for 4 years, they already turned down a promotion because they were just more like, give me stability. But now that they're ready, they want that next challenge. They're like, but am I really? Like, they forget everything. So I love that you expanded on that. Okay, number three. I'm so sorry.
No, not a problem. Thank you for interrupting as well. Because you're right. Like, there's some people who just don't understand the context and need these examples. I'm often in it. So please interrupt as we go when there's clarity needed. But the third place that I see people often get fearful around is the fear of being wrong. And that plays into that self-doubt where we have a desire to be right. So we show up in ways where when we're confident, we're providing our gifts to others. We're providing our perspective to others. We're leveraging our voices and spaces. But there's something about the fear of being wrong that prevents us from stepping forward and really conditions us to retreat. And I think that is definitely a part of a fixed mindset. But when you start to shift your perspective towards a growth mindset, you see the possibilities that everyone's perspective matters. And together, our collective input creates the collective solution. But the third thing, like I said, is the fear of just being wrong. The last
you
fear
see that right? Yeah. Like in terms of, and sorry to again interrupt, like, I guess like I hear it when people are afraid to volunteer or raise their hand in a meeting. Please do not. But yeah, they might come to me to say, can you please help me raise my hand in a meeting? Realizing that that's why that they aren't. It's not because they don't have anything valuable to share. It's that we put that pressure to be right and know it all. Mm-hmm. Do you know anyone that knows it all, Dominic?
I have no idea. And when you meet them, Jen, please send them my way because I just want to know more.
Right? And I ask that for fun because, of course, no one knows it all. I don't care how confident they seem. There is still something there that they could still learn. Yes. Okay, let's hear. What is number four? I love the wrong one because I see that one a lot too.
Yeah, and the fourth one that I have come to learn across my coaching is just the fear of the unknown. So we like stability. As human beings, we've been conditioned to believe that stability is the way to go. And when you step out of that stability is where that fear starts to kick in. And it's the individuals who are ambitious enough to say, no matter what the roadmap is, I'm just going to try it on. I'm going to step into whatever the possibility is and just try it on. And part of that is because they've created a growth mindset around the possibility. But people do truly fear the unknown and they get stuck in if they don't know the roadmap forward, then sometimes they just sit there until somebody else creates it for them. But there's always a possibility to go beyond the unknown.
Out of curiosity, how do you help some of your clients navigate that one? Because I think that's a pretty common fear. Like, I don't even know what is going to happen. Will the world end? That's my thought process sometimes around the unknown. How do you coach your clients to give them that confidence or to help them overcome? Like, what are some tips that you might have with that?
Yeah, so something that I often do in those scenarios, I'll relate it to some, I often do career mapping of where do you want to go? How do you want to get there? How do you want to fill in that position? What are you making? Who are you like collaborating with? Who's around you? Like doing that career mapping process to get people from where they are currently to where they want to go. I do something very similar, but just on the opposite end. So the career mapping is more about the possibility, the energy around, the positivity around that. The fear of the unknown is doing that same type of mapping, but what is the worst case scenario that will happen? And getting people to the point of the worst case scenario, because once you pinpoint that worst case scenario, then you know what you're truly dealing with. You know that if you can conquer that worst case scenario and you can stand up to that point of fear, then you can conquer anything that you're up against. It's usually that, that uncomfortability, that emotional discomfort, which what is the worst case scenario of what's going to play out? And it's usually not as fearful as people think once they actually name it, but it's a matter of naming what that is for people.
I love that. To build your capability. How much do you truly trust yourself that you can handle it? Yeah. That's, I mean, and you're right. Like most of us paint that worst case scenario anyways, and we don't even realize that there's the worst case, there's the best case, there's the most likely.
Yes.
It's not always the first, worst, most terrifying. And again, probably speaking this to myself than I am to the audience. But I love this. And I think it's helpful to know the four fears that you see your clients run into: rejection, success, being wrong, or the fear of the unknown. Now, if someone has identified, okay, I can really see, you know, rejection or being wrong or two of my fears, then how would they start to be able to actually overcome them?
Yeah, so I like to coach people around the five strategies of really cultivating a growth mindset. And that first one being really embracing challenges as an opportunity. When I think about challenges as an opportunity, it's about really facing your fears, like that starting point of just how I ended, where if you name what the actual challenge is, you name what the fear is that's associated with that challenge, then you could see it as an opportunity versus a setback. Most people, when they see the challenge, they're often thinking about what is the end result of that solution. And you don't need the end result to start off with. You just need the starting point to actually get moving. And most people get tripped up by the end point because everybody wants to be at the end first. And I just say, slow down, figure out what the challenge is so that you can embrace it and lean into the opportunity around it.
Yes. It's your challenge is the opera. I'm reading a book and I shared this yesterday, and it's an older book, but it's called The Obstacle is the Way. I think I already referenced it, but I think it's rooted in that, right? That like, whatever your challenge is, that is your true opportunity. Like that, and crossing that is the way that you will get from, you know, B to D. If that was our first thing. What's your next strategy?
Yeah. And the next strategy that I really coach people around is learning from your setbacks and failures, because that is the true possibility to move forward as well. We're always learning. We're always growing as individuals. And we often fear, like I said, the fear of success, but we get stuck in those places of failure. And so I coach people to really sit down and reflect and be an observation of what happened at every point of that moment where you either had a setback or a failure, because that is the moment where you get to really shift your mindset to, again, what's impossible right now gets to be possible later.
I think we forget sometimes that we have made mistakes or overcome setbacks. And
yeah,
I mean, how could we use those, even the past mistakes and failures, to help us overcome our current failures or setbacks? How do you help like clients maybe use that?
Yeah, great question. I like to use I think most people have gone through some version of this experience in childhood where they're on a bike for the first time. Some people are on the training wheels, in the back of the bike, just getting balanced. So there's that one example, or there's like people gone bowling and they have the bumpers on the side of the bowling pins, or side of the lane rather. But I'll use the example of the bike. So you're on the bike, you have the training wheels, you're riding, you're feeling comfortable and you're doing it, but you have the support alongside of you. It's that moment where you actually take off the training wheels and you decide, hey, I'm going to try this on my own. I've had enough practice, so I'm going to try it on my own. And most people fall off the bike. Most people do not ride that bike for the first time and they're just like going. They typically fall, and that's okay. We all fall at some point in our career. The important piece that I like to help people think about is most people don't stop riding the bike. They get back on it after they've like bandaged their bruise or whatever is hurting in that moment. And they think about, what did I learn from that bike ride? Maybe you fell to the right side. So as you're on the bike, you're going to lean to the left a little bit more so that you don't fall. Or maybe it was you were a little nervous, so you were like wobbling the handlebars. So you're going to hold a little bit more steady. You learn from those moments of failure and that setback of riding that bike for the first time. And you just keep trying new things as you get back on. It's the same thing in your career progression. You maybe tried leading a meeting for the first time and you're the center of that conversation. You're guiding people to a certain direction. And maybe you say something that is so offensive to everybody in that meeting and you see it as a setback. And maybe some people approach it as, I'm not going to lead a meeting again because I'm just horrible at it. We've all had those moments where meetings just don't go the way that we want them to go. But the important piece is learn from that setback, learn from that failure. What I like to do is post-meeting, if I know that I did something that I was like, that's not how I wanted that to go, I'll pull people into another conversation and say, hey, I said this. I'm clear of what the impact is, but I want to pull you all into this conversation to figure out how do we make this meeting better moving forward. Bring people into the decision, the conversation, so that you can learn from your individual setbacks, your individual failures, so that you get to move forward in a more positive way, a more informed way, and you get to really leverage the things that you learned to move forward towards success.
I love it. And it's demonstrating your own humility and humanness, but also crowdsourcing, not having to suffer alone. I mean, from my perspective, I feel like one of the common, I guess, setbacks around learning is that people continuously fail to prepare. And they know it every single time that their preparation would have gotten them that. So, you know, maybe there's a sign that you keep doing, and maybe that's your sign that you're going to stop doing that and actually learn from it instead of continuously making the same mistake too. I know we won't be able to fully expand on the next three, but I do want to hear them, and I want to be able to talk about one or two of them. Let's talk about number three.
Yeah. So number three that I coach people around strategy is to really seek continuous learning opportunities. It's so important that we're continuously learning and growing, because where you are today is not where you're going to be long term. And in order to really embody that growth mindset, you have to pull in knowledge from different areas, whether that's podcasts, listening to Jen here, or that's listening to different leaders at different conferences or going to workshops, reading books. Like, there's so many different ways that we get to learn, but it's so important as leaders in organizations, as leaders in your family, in your life, to continuously create opportunities to learn.
I love that. And it is, they're around us. I mean, podcasting makes it so incredibly easy. If you don't want to pick up, you know, a book, and I do it all the time when I walk. I just listen because I love learning. I live in this space and I learn from our guests, from everyone. There's so much that I don't know about this. And I love that though, because that gives me always permission to fail, to be intrigued. It's fun. I love that. Great. Number four.
Number four, I coach people to develop a positive and open attitude. If you're one of those people who are just closed off to life, you're closed off to what's possible, you usually fit into that fixed mindset that I spoke about earlier. But it's so important to be open. When you're open and you have a positive mindset, or you develop a positive attitude towards what's around you, you'll find that people are going to navigate towards you. They're going to want to be around you. And because you're open to the conversation, you're going to just automatically learn from those individuals who are choosing to be in your presence, choosing to be led by you, choosing to be in community with you.
Oh my gosh, Dominic, you said that. And like, there's a recent research that I stumbled upon, and it talked about the cost of negative thinking, that it actually accelerates our brain's aging process. That was enough for me to keep checking myself when I go down. I'm like, I do not want my brain to get smaller. Yeah. Let's hear the final one, the final strategy.
Yeah, and I'll just say, like, we all want to be happy. So why not just be positive about that journey? Because again, we're losing time no matter how you want to think about it. The fifth area that I like to encourage people, once you sort of like conquer these first areas, and you could do them simultaneously, but the fifth area is to really encourage growth in others. When we're teaching others how to shift their mindset we're automatically reinforcing how we need to shift our own mindset around the possibilities. And so I really encourage anyone, whether you're a leader, again, in your family, you're a leader of yourself, you're a leader of organizations, of businesses, like wherever you're leading, you have the opportunity to really encourage growth in others and be in community and conversation with other people around you.
My God, I love that. So even if you say the wrong thing, maybe it's a learning opportunity for everyone. Yes. You know, it's by not saying it, you miss the opportunity to develop them in yourself. Yes. Dominic, I really enjoyed our conversation. And I'm curious, any closing thoughts that you would want to leave our audience with?
Yeah, I just want to reinforce again that we're all on this journey learning together. And like you said earlier, Jen, there is nobody out there who has all the answers, but there are people who specialize in certain areas where collectively, if you just try to pull on those details, try to pull out certain segments of what's been said, you could truly go from what you think is impossible to what's possible. And I just invite everybody to continuously learn as you're growing and developing.
I love that. Make your impossible possible. Dominic, you talked about the four common fears. We talked about what a growth mindset is, your five strategies that you use to coach your clients around this to develop that growth mindset. How can our audience get in touch with you to learn more about who you are and what you do?
Yeah, there's two ways. I would say the more direct way is definitely follow me on LinkedIn, LinkedIn_IN_DominicCGeorge. That's one way to follow me and get in direct contact with me. You could DM me. I'm always on there responding directly. The other way is you could just email me directly, Dominic@visionleadershipforlife.com. And that's another way to contact me as well.
Dominic, thank you so much for coming on the show. Thank you for helping people feel seen and heard and helping them realize that they can make the impossible possible. Thank you for sharing your time and expertise today.
Thank you so much, Jen. And I had a wonderful time being in conversation with you.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Leadership Habit Podcast. I could find myself falling victim to probably all four of those fears. I hope you looked at today's episode as an opportunity to build your own reflection. Where might fear be holding you back? Maybe it's that fear of getting it wrong. Maybe it's that fear of success or rejection. And I'm gonna segue this because at Crescom, we can help you overcome some of these fears. We offer a comprehensive leadership development program that is designed to give you the tools that you need to be successful. I would love to share more about Crescom, our mission, with you. And to do that, you can head on over to crescom.com, and there you can learn more by requesting a leadership skills workshop, or even just find out a little bit more about what we offer, from webinars to white papers. Head on over to crescom.com, and there you can find out more about how we can help you face your fears and be your best. And in closing, if you know someone that maybe is really struggling with a fear, hey, it's normal, but share this podcast episode with them. Help them. Dominic's advice was so great and spot on. So don't keep this to yourself. And if you enjoyed this podcast, don't forget to leave us a review on your favorite podcast streaming platform. Until next time.